This is the point where the children and the teenagers go out to their own groups. If you're new and you've got children here today, watch the lady in the green coat over there. Okay, guys, so if you would like to focus back, it's our great privilege today to have our good friend, David Stern, speaking. Give him a big hand, everybody.
It's more of an absolute privilege for me, really. Good morning, everyone. I think my talk this morning is going to fit in with the theme of devotion to God, to the things of God. And I thought I would talk a little bit about my story, how I came to be here. So it all started in 2001. I was a Christian for a couple of years, and I'd been attending a cell group at Paul's Place, and I was working usually every day, even Sundays. So I wasn't going to church on Sundays, but it came to a point where I thought, this is not enough, I need more. So I decided to give up the job on the Sunday and started coming to New Life in January of 2001. And straight away, my life changed, because within a few weeks, I met Mercy here, who's my wife over there. And so I met her, got engaged, and got married all in the same year, 2001. And then by 2003, we were joined by a little one, a Sally. My life was becoming more fun-filled. So 2003, had to get used to looking after another person, apart from my wife. So looking after a Sally. Bathing her, feeding her, entertaining her, all of the normal baby things, and getting to grips of a new home, a new house, because we'd moved into a new house. There were some challenges in terms of DIY, because I wasn't somebody into DIY, but, you know, it was quite a challenging time. And then there was work. I was working as a freelancer back then, and I had to sometimes look for work on a weekly basis. So it was always challenging. And then there was church. I was beginning to settle in after a couple of years and, making new friends. But I'm not really the world's greatest social animal. I can be quite shy, but give me something meaty to talk about, not small talk. Something meaty like Brexit, for example. I can go on and on and on and on and on about it. But I did know a few people from the cell group. I knew Paul, obviously. And so some faces were familiar. And but I'll tell you what I noticed straight away was that on a Sunday, that people were just always so busy doing things. They were always setting up. They were fetching and carrying, they were welcoming people, they were setting up the tea and coffees, always busy. There was always a hive of activity around here. But the person above all who got my attention was Paul, because he seemed to be at the centre of everything. It was all over the place. It was Paul welcoming, Paul setting out the chairs, Paul preaching. And I started saying to myself, how can one person do all these things? He must need some help. So I thought, you know, I think I could help. So I decided that I would offer myself. And I remember saying to Paul that I thought I could help out on a Sunday. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but I think he thanked me for putting myself forward. But over time, with work, with home, Little did I know that my enthusiasm for becoming more engaged in church would just evaporate. And so my enthusiasm rolled back rapidly. And so we come up to 2005, and we had our second child, Eliza. There she is. So we now had two children under the age of three, and both were in Sunbeams, one of our Sunday school classes here. And then after a while, Mercy and I were on the rota for Sunbeams. We started leading a class once a month. And for me, this was all about assisting my wife. I thought, I don't want to do any leading. Forget it. It's not me. But there were one or two occasions when Mercy wasn't feeling very well. And I thought, well, it's all down to me then. It was scary stuff, because I thought, I, what do I know about leading children? But then I remembered, I am a dad. I do sit down with my girls, and we do lots of drawing, and we have a sing-song, and I thought, can't be too difficult. So I thought, maybe this isn't going to be so daunting. So from then on, occasionally, I would lead some of the sessions with Mercy supporting me. And as I became more relaxed about these sessions, I started watching how some of the other Sunbeam leaders, what they did. And in particular, I remember Philippa, Louise and Elaine being struck by just how much effort they put into their sessions. All the materials that they used, how they read the stories, their patient and caring approach with the children. I was amazed at their input, and I was humbled by it. And the creativity that went into these sessions was eye-opening. And I think it was, where's Elaine? Not here. But I think it was Elaine that she just blew my mind one morning when she demonstrated that in the short time that you were with these children, it could be, you could present something that's action-packed and would bring the Bible to life. So I remember seeing Elaine one morning with a load of empty cardboard boxes. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing with those? And she said, I'm going to build a model of the Tower of Babel to demonstrate the story to the children. And I said, huh? You can actually do that? It's like I was being given permission to be creative. It's a light bulb just went on in my head. I thought, wow. So I began to wake up to the creative possibilities of making these sessions lively, exciting, fun. So I thought, yes, I'm going to sign up for more of this. So over time, I saw Elaine showing even more creative ideas and for these classes. And I once asked her, I said, all these ideas, why don't you put them in a book? You get them published. They're amazing. So then myself, in turn, I started spending more time preparing the materials that I was going to use in the classes. So I'd be coming up with ideas, downloading materials from the internet, discussing them with Mercy. And it was all last minute because I was always so busy with work and with home. So often I was late. I was up late at night doing these things, but I just had an enthusiasm for it. And sometimes I'd get a little bit frustrated that I didn't have enough time, but I figured spending some time is better than spending no time. So by giving my time, I was demonstrating a willingness, I think, to try and offer something of myself to these classes. And maybe it started out as a bit of self-interest because my daughters were in Sunbeams, and it was maybe just a good opportunity to spend more time with them. But the time I gave, the time I spent in Sunbeams became so, so precious to me. It became such a special time offering something of myself in guiding these children, in learning more about the Bible through song, through drama, through lots of fun. I was hooked. In fact, I was so committed to helping in this class that long after my daughters had graduated and gone into the next class, I was still there. I had enthusiasm for what I was doing. I was enjoying it. So when Mercy and I had our third child, Joseph, joy of joys, even more sunbeams. And there's Joseph. Inevitably, though, my time serving in these classes would have to come to an end. I think I was beginning to scare the children with my exuberance, especially for the sing-song time, jumping around to the boing-boing song. And yes, perhaps it was time for me to move on doing something else in the church, especially as by now I seem to be having much more fun than the children. So the time came for me to leave Sunbeams and make myself available in other areas of the church. So Paul and Nick started asking if I could prepare a little talk, help lead the service, help out with ECOS, which was, I have to say, a little scary for me. Preparing a talk like this one can take all of your energy and will in putting together. The language, I find, has to be carefully considered and prayed about in order to get it right. Having God's input is vital. Being asked to lead a service like this one also carries a lot of responsibility to try and marshal all of us into God's presence on a Sunday morning. So making sure the running order is okay, being familiar with the worship songs, any last-minute changes, the church notices. There are a few things to consider. So sometimes leading at church can be quite challenging, but I believe being active in other areas of church life has helped to prepare me. The foundation of my preparation, though, has been at home. Helping to maintain a good home, a good functioning home, is important. Taking on responsibilities for the duties which make a household tick, where everything is working and in good order. Those responsibilities are huge. Keeping your home functioning and functioning well, whether you live with other people or not, can be demanding. So keeping house can be demanding. But I believe this is where our willingness to serve God and serve each other begins. This is an area of primary responsibility which can shape our hearts and our attitude towards God. Our homes are like training grounds or workshops, preparing us for acts of service to God. When we keep order in our homes, we are not paid to do so. But we do so because it's our space, it's our motivation, and we are responsible for it and look after everything in it. And we try to keep things tidy and clean and in good order. We can have enthusiasm for trying to keep everything in good order. In the book of 1 Timothy 3:5, it says, "If a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church?" And so it is with serving in God's house, in this place, in church. Most of us are not being paid to serve when we do the things we do in church, but we try to do them well, very well. We commit ourselves to them. Every time we meet together like this, we want Jesus to come, don't we? We want the Holy Spirit to come and fill this place so that we can have an encounter with God and know and be reminded that He is real, that God is real. So this then is our motivation every Sunday to set up church here. The reason for doing what we do, to see more of Jesus. And it includes everything we need to function as a church while we are here on a Sunday. From setting up the teas and coffees to welcoming people as they arrive through those doors. There's a verse in Psalm 69 that I think encapsulates what our attitude is and should be when we arrive here each week. Psalm 69 verse 9 says, "For the zeal of your house consumes me." Now that's interesting. What's interesting about that verse is that it's also quoted straight after Jesus drove people out from the temple courts, people who were buying and selling on church grounds. So John 2:15 says, So he made a whip out of cords, he being Jesus, and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And then verse 17 says, his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. So this should be our attitude, I feel, just as it is at home, to clean house, keeping it shipshape and in good order. To set this place up every time we meet so that it is in good enough order. Good enough order to honour the God we serve. When we arrive here in the morning, we find that the hall is dirty, perhaps, and not been swept. What do we do? What is our attitude? Do we shrug and say, oh, well, no worries. It doesn't matter. We're only here for a few hours. Leave it. I remember last year when we were in the other drama block, and I remember seeing Auntie Onyeka sweeping up leaves in the entrance. And I said to myself, really, Auntie, is that really you? You could be putting your feet up having a cup of tea, but you're trying to keep this sanctuary clean. And I just feel, if Auntie Onyeka can do that, what about the rest of us? Can we serve like this? Are we prepared to? Are we prepared to, if necessary, serve God like this? So what can you do? What can you give in serving in this place? What can you give to God as we seek him every Sunday morning in this place? Are you prepared to get your hands dirty? Are you prepared to muck in? Who remembers Vi? Do you remember Vi, Alan? You remember Vi? Vi used to, she was at this church for some years, and she passed away a few years ago. But Vi was in her 70s, and I was always amazed how willing she was to help pack things away. I remember in particular that when she had to move a storage box, like one of these, they're quite heavy when they're filled, but she would use her feet and just push it along like that, slowly but surely. And I used to say to her, are you okay there, Vi? Do you need a hand? And she was, no, it's okay, I got this, it's fine. I can do this. And that was Vi mucking in. She was getting involved. She was helping out. It's a lady in her 70s. There's a verse in Hebrews which came to mind while I was preparing this talk. It's Hebrews 11:16. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Those who earnestly seek him. The New King James Version uses the word diligently instead of earnestly. He rewards those who diligently seek him. So when my brother back there, Phil, on the sound desk, second mention today, Phil, when he comes early to help set up all the AV equipment, do the sound checks, making sure everything works, it's a sacrifice. He's given his time and energy to it. He's diligently doing his bit in helping all of us to seek God, to connect with him. He applies himself to these things, and it's an expression of his love for Jesus. And Phil is faithful in doing what he does every Sunday. Every Sunday, he's here. He's on it. He's taken ownership of it, of those tasks, and he does it like it's a paid job. And so it is with quite a few of you. You've taken ownership of certain tasks around the church, and I have to tell you that it's so very appreciated. You don't know just how much. So as I finish up, can I ask you all this question? Do you have a love, a passion for Jesus and for his church? And if so, are you prepared to spend some of it, some of that energy, that passion, in bringing his church here, setting up every week, preparing this sanctuary? Are you prepared to muck in, to get your hands dirty, to serve, make yourself useful in this church? When I was growing up, my mum used to always say to me and my siblings, "Why don't you make yourselves useful?" And usually she would say this in frustration. This morning, I think Jesus might be asking you a similar thing, but in love. Can you make yourself useful in my church? Now, if your answer is yes, and you say to yourself, "I'd like to get more involved," then please speak to one of us afterwards, to myself, to Nick. You can start by maybe completing one of these. Let's bow our heads as I pray. Lord Father, thank you so much that you have brought us together as your body. Thank you that the people here are your church. Thank you that we are being prepared, made into living stones, Lord. And Father, you know that sometimes we're not a perfect fit, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can wash over us and you can soften those jagged edges in us so that we all fit together as one body, as one building in honor of you, Lord. Father, I just pray for soft hearts this morning. I pray that all of us will want to contribute something, give you back something, Lord, as you laid your life down for us, Jesus. Help us to be mindful of your sacrifice. Help us to sacrifice in turn in this place. And that sacrifice will say, "I love you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus."
We take time to allow God to speak to our hearts. Maybe he's speaking to you about something practical. And maybe you can't see your way how you're going to do that. But just now there's opportunity to come to him and say, "Well, I would like to somehow be useful to you. But can you please make a way? Can you show me how, Lord?" I think there's another category that we all should be a part of, and that is stirring up love in this church. And that, I think, for me is the constant challenge. Do I have time for other people? Do I have time for new people? Do I have time for a new relationship? Lord, you know that we are very time poor. But we know that there's a lost world that needs your love. We know there are people that are new, even in this church, who are trying to find their footing with you. So let's turn our hearts to God and say, you know, "God, is there something more that I can do? Or would you just simply remind me to pray for the people that I said I'd pray for?" Or to pray for that person that I sat next to on Sunday. Because God has a lot of love to flow amongst us. And the more love you give, the more you can ask for. Jesus, we come to you. By your creative Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you inspire us? Would you speak to our hearts even this morning? Just some sort of hope of what you're calling us to.
A picture while I was doing this talk, and the picture was of a bottle of orange juice freshly squeezed, and it had been sitting on a shelf for a while, so all the orangey bits were on the bottom. And I just feel that sometimes in us, that's how we are, that all the goodness is at the bottom, that it's sitting dormant. And I felt that sometimes, I feel that sometimes we need stirring up. We've become sometimes quite comfortable with sitting, and that our talents, our gifts, our abilities are sitting there, not doing enough. And God wants people with gifts and talents and abilities to be stirred up. And I feel that when you offer yourself in service, that is being stirred up. There are things in you that might be stirred up that you never knew existed. Yes, you might be challenged, but sometimes you're challenged to the point that you move to a new level that you never thought you'd be. When I came here in 2001, there is no way that I would imagine that I could be standing here 18 years later, doing a talk like this, helping out the service. Being an elder in this place, serving God like this. And I have to say, it's the best thing that's happened to me, because it brings out things that you in yourself that you never knew existed. There are things that sometimes you're apprehensive about and fearful about, and God wants to confront you about those things, not in a hard way, not in a horrible way, but he wants the best out of you, and he knows that fear can constrain you, and he wants to release you from that fear. And one of my fears was public speaking. But here I am, doing a bit of that. So if there are gifts and abilities that you have that are laying dormant, maybe the Lord wants to stir you up so that you can use them for his church.
Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And as we sing this song this morning, the best we can do is say, Lord, here I am, send me. Don't limit him by what you think you can do. God often uses people who feel completely incapable, who feel completely restrained. I couldn't do anything. What can I offer? But Isaiah said, Lord, I'm here. And then God makes you, prepares you, equips you, fills you, and gives you things to do. It's a privilege to serve God. It really is a privilege. But it begins with us just saying in our hearts, I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. send me. So these words, can we go back to the beginning again, Phil, on this one? I will offer up my life. That's what we're doing. We're not just singing a song this morning. If you don't want to offer your life, don't sing it. Say, Lord, help me to offer up my life. I'm not sure I can offer my life, but help me, Lord. Or you can say, I will offer up my life, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. So let's sing this prayerfully, meaningfully, and let God work in our hearts. And then he'll show us, he'll show you what to do. He'll give you opportunities. He'll prepare you for a work, but he won't take it from you. Only as we give our lives to him can he use them.
Shall we please stand upon our feet as we begin to connect with our Maker and our Savior this morning? I've got Baraka and Anna here to lead us into prayers.
Dear Lord, I just pray that today as we have the meeting, we'll feel your presence touch us, Lord. And we'll feel the Holy Spirit's take over our lives, Lord. Amen.
Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. Please come closer to us as we're here with you. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we have come once again to your presence, before your throne, asking for peace and mercy. Father, we commit this morning into your hands. All that we hope for is in you. All that we need is in you. All that we want is in you. We ask this morning that you touch our hearts and reconnect us with you in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to read a scripture this morning. Psalm 126 and verse 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. This morning, I just want us to know that yes, it is possible that last year was a terrible year. It is possible that the past 20 years was not the right 20 years we wanted. But the Lord is promising us this morning, there's a possibility of a turnaround. That when he turns it around, then our mouths will be filled with joy, with laughter, and our hearts with joy. Father, we ask for that help this morning, as many of us that are struggling with one thing or the other, that you will touch our hearts, Lord, through this worship, that you will open the gates of heaven and flood us with your joy and happiness, in Jesus' name.
Maybe we turned a bit inside our mums. Made a small contribution, but pretty much it was an act of grace that any of us are here. And so we always like at New Life to celebrate birthdays. Now, I know that at least one person has got their birthday today. Is that right? It begins with S and ends at A. She doesn't. There are one or two that may not want to be mentioned this morning. Perhaps the older we get. But yeah. So that person is Sabrina. Would you like to come to the front, Sabrina? Unaccustomed as you are to... Fantastic. So a big hand for Sabrina. And a relative of Sabrina. Where is Jean? Now, I know it's not your birthday today, Jean, but you want a blessing because it's next week. So we're going to pray for Jean as well. So let's just stretch out our hands towards Sabrina. Actually, Jean, are you able to come up here? Come. Fantastic. Give her a big hand. Like myself, Jean's more the other end of the scale, but no less precious for that. Amen. Let's stretch out our hands. Father, we want to thank you for the act of grace in us being born. Father, we thank you for birthdays, Lord, because actually it means we're special. We celebrate it because we are special, Lord, each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you care for every single person in this room today, and you have a plan for every life. And Father, we pray this morning for Sabrina, and we pray for Jean, and we pray for anybody else whose birthday it is. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask for your blessing, your rich blessing upon them this year, Lord. And our prayers will make a difference, Father, to your blessing upon their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, come on up. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sabrina and Jean. Happy birthday to you.
Now, since you're about a third of the age here, Sabrina, I think it's appropriate that you blow out that one. Hey, she got two. Over you go, Jean. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
About the same age, do I?
No, you don't. It's a. I was told in the old days you were allowed to say that it was a woman's privilege, the secrecy, but in these days of equality, perhaps you should know. Perhaps we should know. First of all, this morning, just to say an incredible thank you for everybody who contributed last week to the All Age Service and to the lunch in the canteen, which people, I think, thought was pretty good, actually, and a better location. But it was incredibly hard work. And actually, all this year, as we've moved to the gym, I've had some very nice comments about how nice it is actually being in this gym. But it's hard work, actually, and a lot of work goes into it. And I just wanted to take this opportunity of... There's a little form here which we've constructed. You can try putting it up, Phil, which I'm going to call a volunteer form. Do you want to hand the out your side, Monica and Bob and John? There may not be quite enough to go round. The children don't need them yet. The teenagers do. In fact, the children need them too, really, but they can have their parents one. Okay, and basically what this just shows you, it's called How Can I Help? There's a thing about the church. In the old days, people would have thought the church, you had the clergy doing all the work and everybody else just turns up. New Life Church isn't like that. And actually, the Bible Church isn't like that either. The Bible says we are the body of Christ. So there is one head. And who is the head? And who is the body? Point a finger at yourself. We are the body of Christ. And there is no unemployment in the body of Christ. There is something for each one of us to do. And on this form, it just goes through actually some of the things that goes into church life. There's a setup team. They were here starting at 8:45 this morning, lugging around the equipment. There is a catering team making sure that you have a lovely tea and coffee. There's a welcome team, Ferd and Regina, with their lovely smiles and their warm greeting, and others that have joined them. There's an outreach team that John and his team go around knocking on doors. We have an outreach team led by Michelle and Philippa, who are doing Alpha at the moment. We have an ECOS team every other week. We have a wonderful music team, don't we? Fantastic. That's a more obvious one that we benefit from every Sunday. But they have to set up all their equipment. They have to practice. There is a sound desk. That man at the back, Phil, who's probably going to cut me off if I say anything nice about him. There's an admin team. There is a social media team. There is a teenage team. There is a children's team. There is a pastoral team. And there's more as well. And so there's a little bit here. There's something that if you want to, you can tick. And it's really for you to actually think about and pray about, where do I fit in? Sometimes we think, okay, I just go to church. I'm not very important. But actually we feel important as we get involved in God's things. So this is something for you to think about. I believe David's going to talk a little bit about service this morning. And we're going to have these at the back of the information desk. And if people want to get involved, or maybe they're shy to get involved, or they think their gift isn't very significant, do just fill that in, put your name and your number, and somebody will be in touch with you, to be sure. You can fold it up and put it in that little white box at the back. Very quickly, up-and-coming things. There is, on the 19th of February, in a couple of Tuesdays' time, there is no prayer meeting because it's half-term. On Sunday, the 24th of February, we have a wonderful person coming to speak called Corinne. I don't know whether we got a picture of her there. Corinne Brixton, there she is, and she's not the one on the right. That's Martha, but Corinne wrote the book. She's written another book since then, and she's a wonderful, inspiring, lovely Christian. And so it'll be well worth coming and bring a friend along if you want to on that day. Then we have coming up on the 7th of April, we have the Lord's Supper, which we really enjoy together. We focus on the death of Jesus. We share the bread and wine together, and we have a meal afterwards. And then a little later, we have Easter Sunday, which is a special celebration of the resurrection. And we're doing that this year with Chalk Farm Baptist Church and Revelation Church at the Iris Centre. So watch this space, and the details of the Iris Centre will come up. And then finally, there is Carroty Wood Camp, which is beginning. Some have already filled in their forms. Is that right, Joe? Some have run to the back to get their Carroty Wood form, and they're sitting there at the information desk. So do grab one and give it to Joe if you want to come. And then one final thing. It's really lovely to have new people here this morning. I won't mention any names, except it's nice to have an addition to the Brazilian Portuguese-speaking contingent here today. You can find out who she is afterwards. And other new people here this morning, you're very welcome. So why don't you just turn around and say hello to somebody maybe who you've never spoken to before, or if you can't find them, just say hi to a friend.